listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, you kids and grannies and cats and gators, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio, ShakeAndWakeRadio.com, and also being broadcast on Truth Be Told Radio Network. Thanks for joining the show. As I always start my shows off, guys, for a plug for the stations, because they put a lot of work in that nobody gets paid for. You know, if you could throw a few bucks in towards the stations, I know the operators would much appreciate it. And as always, I like to start the show off thanking my producer for putting up with me every week, because I always forget to do it at the end of the show. So I got all that off my chest. Now we can go forward, because it's a great pleasure, as always, to have my friend in. We call him the Duracell Bunny. Of course, we're all talking about Roger Landry, regular on my show, and always a pleasure to have him back. How you doing there, Mr. Landry? And we were talking before we got on the air about the what's going on in your country there and your great new president. But I know you're peed off at me because you're missing Trump's speech right now.
CPAC speech? So, oh, don't worry about that.
I'm going to apologize for that right off the bat. But how are you doing, my friend?
It's being recorded. And believe me, I will watch it. And I will most likely write an article about it. But for everybody listening, I just found something out about Barry just before we started the show today. Uh-oh. And yeah, this ought to be fun. Listen to me. If you want to make Barry shut up, all you have to do is say 15 seconds.
Well, it takes me that long to remember what I'm supposed to say when I start my shows, Roger. You know, I don't want to be tripping
that
on my
was
tongue.
A joke, and I it's know, always I a know. Pleasure to be here. All right, you want to talk about? Let's talk about what actually happened. About a good friend of mine, literally doing his best to dig his heels in on me, just as I get on the phone after not talking to him for a couple of weeks, by telling me that he had listened to probably what was in his eyes the most intelligent president and the best speaking president in U.S. history, Joe Biden. At which point I was seriously, you know, trying to make up my mind on whether or not I wanted to really do this show. again, joking. Listen to me.
I know.
We are in critical. We are in a critical situation. If you can't make a little bit of fun here and there, you're going to go freaking nuts.
Absolutely.
Everybody up in Canada, you ain't immune to it. I got to tell you something. I would probably be as pissed off or more pissed off if I was living in Canada and that guy was the guy I was supposed to be looking up to lead my country. Mm. No, I would say we're both shooting blanks when it comes to their ability to literally lead the American people or the Canadian people. If you look at an article I published yesterday on the Liberty Beacon, it basically says the Democrats are not governing. No, they're not. When you govern, what you do is you do something for the people, not for a portion of a party that you belong to. Because you're in power, you're going to do everything that this clique, okay, supposedly helped you to get elected, this clique, these elitists that helped you to get elected, except that at this point, almost 66%, almost two-thirds of this country doesn't believe he should be sitting in the White House. They don't believe he actually won. And what we're looking at right now is out of some, I don't know, is it some feeling of desperation? He's slamming through all of these executive orders. He's making these radical changes in a country that just finished recovering from 8 years of liberal crap under Obama. And now, in a little over a month, what, 50 executive orders killing, some will estimate, between 1.5 and 3 million jobs. Are you listening to me? I'm not joking. He's put an axe to them. How many Americans were rioting in the streets because we were, I don't know, being afforded the best standard of living we had seen in this country in a generation? And it's all gone now. And it's not going to get better from here. So when you stop and think that over 100 million people, it is estimated, over 100 million people, and there's estimated to be 130 million voters, registered voters, and these are rounded off numbers, not exact numbers, in the country. So if over 100 million of them, or in that vicinity even, believe that the election wasn't quite up to snuff, stop and think about what I'm saying here. We are in a bad situation. Not only that, but I was sitting back here watching your election going, ain't no way in hell this guy can win. Ain't no way in hell this guy can win. What? He won. What do you got to say about that, Barry?
Well, hey, listen, Roger, you know that Joe and Justin have had their little meetings and their little private talks already. And even though Joe is totally incoherent, Justin's just licking his lips right now because there is nothing to stop him in Canada from pushing forward his absolutely barbaric agendas. Our country is in so much trouble right now, Roger. And, you know, the most disturbing part about it is, unlike the United States of America, there is hundreds of millions of Canadians, not hundreds. There's millions and millions and millions of Canadians that are still asleep. That even though the trees are right in front of their face right now, Roger, our country is being turned upside down. Our economy is being destroyed. The middle class is absolutely being decimated. We've lost 420,000 small, medium businesses in Canada since the onset of this scamdemic. Our society is falling apart mentally. Our children are being absolutely torn apart. The trauma that's being put into our children. I see people walking around downtown with masks on their kids' faces. I had to stop a week ago and talk to them, Roger. It's just absolute insanity that we're supposed to be intelligent people. But where is the intelligence gone, man? Where is it gone, man?
From our last show.
Oh, hey, Roger. I'm telling you, it's driving me nuts. It's driving me insane, buddy. I'm sorry. It
Can
really
I
is.
Tell you another big component of this? Because again, anybody who listens to me knows what I'm about to say. Let's step back and look at the big picture, because there's more modules that fit into this picture. There's more subsections. There's more. Let's talk about Texas. Let's talk about one of the richest states in the country, where everybody's moving to from California and other blue states, where the Democrats are either overtaxing them or the regulations are so stringent they can't even make money anymore. So they're all moving to Texas. And Texas was supposed to be where it is at. This is oh, my God. It was one of the greenest states in all of the Americas, basically. They had massive solar farms, massive wind farms, and they could produce all this electricity. They could, and it was green. It was green. And then we got a snowstorm. Okay? And that snowstorm was accompanied by sub-zero temperatures. This doesn't happen. I've lived in Texas. This doesn't happen normally. This is a once in a lifetime, a once in a century storm. But what did it prove? It proved when all of the windmills froze up and couldn't produce any electricity, and when all of the solar panel farms were under 6 to 10 inches of snow and could produce no electricity, and Texans were suffering rolling blackouts, and some were even freezing to death. As a result, there's between 30 and 50 deaths, depending on who you talk to so far. This is the Green New Deal in all of its glory. This is getting rid of natural gas. This is getting rid of oil. This is getting rid of, and I could go on and on. This is putting us in an unrealistic, untenable position. Not only that, but can you imagine the cost to these, to the Texas people over the next, I don't know, decade because of this?
How many pipes are under repair already? Look at the price. I was looking at an article. How many pipes are with the water right now, Roger? It's just insane. Go ahead.
I'm on basically the same level as Texas, where that hit. I'm in Arkansas. Okay, yeah. So maybe a little higher, but not much. And we got sub-zero temperatures, and the pipes in my personal house froze. So I do understand. And we had 6 to 8 inches of snow, and that doesn't happen here either.
Right.
But we're looking, again, we're looking at a solution that is being beat into us that so many scientists and so many researchers and so many specialists have been saying this is not the answer. Not only are they susceptible to weather, okay, but try getting rid of them once they don't work anymore. And look at their durability, how long they actually last, the cost to produce them, and then to get rid of them, which is a huge cost, okay, when they don't work anymore. And then how much profit did you actually make from them? People are starting to realize that green isn't so green. Because to make all of those things that make these huge windmill farms and these huge solar farms, okay, requires in most of the country where the manufacturing is done, fossil fuels. So to put it all together, it's just not so green. But again, this is something that's being catered to on a huge level right now.
Well, it's all climate accord BS, Roger. We know where it's stemming from. You know, we got to save the planet, got to get rid of fossil fuels. But, you know, the answer we have a very, very simple answer in front of us right now that if everybody in the world just woke up and embraced it, we'd turn the world around. And it's called the hydrogen cell. Yeah. And it could revolutionize our world. And it the hydrogen cell, if it was developed, I've looked into it a lot. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can run your vehicle on water. I talked to a guy named Shaziz. I do shows with him all the time. He said he can convert my vehicle for $5,000, but if it was done on a mass scale, you could convert vehicles for $1,500 a piece. Now, one other thing I wanted to comment on Texas. I looked at 100 year of bad weather in Texas for Houston. I went back as far as I could on the records, and they've only ever had a flash freeze like that. And it didn't last for more than 24 hours, and it was 1983. But this one that they experienced, Roger, was unheralded in Texas history for a prolonged freeze like that. Okay, I just wanted to add that, but go ahead. Your comments on the hydrogen cell, Roger. And then we're looking at fusion energy now. I mean, holy smokes, what they can do with that, Roger, is mind-blowing if we develop it.
It's not even just that, okay? The sources of energy that are available to us are
mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling, yes. Most people don't understand that the most powerful source of energy, and some of them do when they talk about solar, but solar isn't not in that form, all right? If you could take a parabolic mirror, Right. Okay, and focus a beam of sunlight down onto any spot on the planet where it could be picked up and converted. You are talking about, over time, the cheapest form of energy you could possibly imagine. Absolutely. And when's the sun going to die?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Roger, we could talk about alternate forms of energy that are being quelled right now that people aren't allowed to know about that would boggle people's mind. I'm an absolute believer in the existence of free energy.
Hey, Barry.
I agree with you.
It exists.
Barry.
But you don't shut off the XL pipeline.
You
and
don't.
I don't know, slaughter how many lives? And yes, slaughter is not an overstatement. That's exactly what happened. And he steps in and he goes, okay, XL pipeline's gone.
Done. He's shutting the rest of them down too, Roger. We know that.
But
he's a maniac.
Hey, Barry.
Steve.
There's a question for you in the PIR chat. Okay.
I'm not in there. I'll go in there.
I'll read it.
Okay, you read it.
It says for Mr. Duracell and Barry. Why hasn't Trump started a new political party with 100 million supporters like the Brexit Party in Britain? The three main mandates: stop COVID mania, reverse the Green New Deal, and stop globalization. Trump is more powerful now than ever.
Your answer, Roger.
I would tell you right now that he has beat that up in his brain over and over again, as have I and as have a lot of other people. Is there ever been a truly successful third party in this country? One of the biggest mechanisms of control in this country is the two-party system. And all of the power we talk about is centered in that two-party system, which in a lot of cases they want us to believe is a two-party system. It is basically a one-party system because they all work for the same people.
Yep.
Having a third party would enhance a lot of the attacks. It would not only enhance them, it would modify them to the point where now it's he's tearing the country apart, whatever. It would literally make him a much bigger target. But if he spends – now stop and think about this because this is where it all comes to fruition. If he spends the next year and a half getting enough congressmen and senators elected to the Republican Party to take back both the House and the Senate, he now has a very, very powerful control mechanism for the next 2 years while he runs for president.
Barry, I wanted to add something else there. One of my college courses was a government type of course, but government and a history combined. But basically, I was taught that the two-party dictatorship was set up to control their both parties. They were set up to protect themselves. They were never
going
to.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah,
exactly. The illusion of choice. The illusion of choice.
You are absolutely right, Steve, but what most people don't understand again here is that the most ignorant of what truly goes on in this country are what you and I call the most patriotic of senators or congressmen, because these are the people who haven't been there long enough to understand who's really pulling the strings. These are the people that haven't been there long enough to know that if they want to stay there much longer, they're going to have to kiss a little booty, and this is what that costs. These people who run on the street because of people like you and me tapping them on the shoulder and saying, we've had enough of this. When they get there, they are the closest thing to true representatives you're going to see. After a couple of terms, that evaporates very quickly. I have stated this over and over again. Just have a little patience, Barry. I'm almost done. Two things we need to do to break this, to break it, okay? There's more than that, but these are the two things we need to start with. The first one is term limits. 3 2-year terms for a congressman and 2 6-year terms for a senator. End of story. No more. And not only that, you back that up with the second thing that says every single person running for the Senate, every single person running for president, every single person running for Congress will have the exact same budget, and that budget will come from we the people. So if a congressman is running every 2 years, he may be given $500,000. End of story. That's what you've got. That's what everybody who's running against you has. There is no favoritism. There is nobody saying, I'm going to give you $2 million. You're going to beat them all. And this is all you need to do. You take the money out and you give them term limits. And if you want to change it even more drastically than that, the other option available is a constitutional convention.
How about destroy lobbying?
What's that?
Destroy lobbying.
Yeah, okay, but I'm talking about the ultimate, because once you have a constitutional convention, once you get it set up, you redefine the laws and the rules. And if you get rid of the money, stop and think about this, Steve, because that was a brilliant point. If you get rid of the money, you get rid of lobbying. That's what they do. So again, the third thing and the biggest thing we could possibly do, but I won't hold my breath for it, is a constitutional convention, at which point we can literally – listen to me. I'm about to say something really, really cool, but it's true. At that point, we can impeach the entire damn Congress, the House and the Senate. That's what we can do with a constitutional convention. We can impeach every one of these whores.
Sorry, I'm laughing in the background here, guys, but there was a little piece of cookie sitting on my table from last night, and it fell on the floor. My cat ate it, and now he's running around doing pirouettes in my house. So if I'm laughing in the background, it's not a weird
great cookie. Thing, Roger.
My cat's bouncing off the walls here, guys. Sorry.
No, he's not bouncing off the walls because of the cookie.
I'm trying to do a radio show with my cat doing pirouettes. Excuse me.
He's not bouncing off the walls because of the cookies. He's bouncing off the walls because he's listening to what I'm saying. You got a smart cat there.
Well, these are medicinal cookies, and I don't eat them during the day, but at nighttime.
Yeah, okay.
I sure enjoy them. Anyways, all that being said. Yes. It's making me laugh, so I'm trying not to chuckle here.
So anyway, did that get my point across, Steve? I was just trying to focus on a point there.
Steve,
yes.
Oh, I think yes. He got pissed off and left.
No, I'm here.
I'm kidding, Steve.
Well, I don't know how long the United States is going to last if this maniac is allowed to remain in power for any length of time. And it's not him. We know that. Well, I'm going to say very shortly. I'm going to get you to add a little thought on that. But how long before Kamala is the president of the United States of America? You know, that's what they set up, and that's what's going on. Biden hasn't got the brains that God gave a chicken, and everybody around him is starting to notice it. You know, number 25 in your amendment in what is it, the 25th?
25th Amendment.
Yeah, amendment, excuse me. Yep. Gives him the power to take him out if he's mentally incognitive, and he has definitely got so many screws loose, it's not even funny. I can't even listen to the guy talk. He's just
gibberish.
Well, it is funny, but it's gibberish that this guy is right now the president of the United States of America.
Well, Barry.
Are we in La La Land, man? Go ahead.
Barry, you know, you're segueing right into what you and I talked to about 30 minutes ago, 35 minutes ago. What about all this deep fake stuff, Roger? I mean, who is doing what? I mean, what are we actually seeing on the TV?
Right, sure ain't Joe Biden.
No, I mean, what are we seeing on? Are we seeing deep fakes on the TV? Just about everything.
We are.
Somebody.
A lot of what we're seeing is. And if there are times when they just do sloppy work, like there are actual videos.
For sure, but that's
Biden
on purpose.
Sitting
though.
At the Oval Office desk, signing executive orders, and out the window behind him, you see a car parked right next to the window.
Trump walking into the car. Yeah,
that doesn't happen in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
So, oops. And the next video I saw actually the one that was timestamped right after that one, the curtain was closed.
Well, but I was talking about this.
Somebody caught on to it.
So, Roger.
Did that?
Roger,
go ahead, Steve.
I caught somebody this morning that pretty much posted he believes everything we are seeing is CGI. And I'm tending to lean that way myself. Everything we
it's
see.
It's not all CGI. It isn't. But there are videos online right now that are quite believable showing that Joe Biden looks like Joe Biden, but if you really look, he doesn't look like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And one video even calls one of them Joe Biden, and the other one called Joe Bidan. Okay, and they almost look alike, except when you look at the profile, one has a very sag under the chin where it goes to the neck, and the other one doesn't have a sag at all. I got to tell you something, unless those images are 2 years apart, which there are, 10 years apart, which they weren't, those aren't the same people. So we're starting to see things like this. We're starting to hear things like there was a 60-day hold on passing the military authority from Trump to Biden. And this was a law that was passed in 2019. It was 60 days before control of the military would be passed from the outgoing president to the currently sitting president. 60 days, which happens at the beginning of this coming month. Oh, we also heard – hold on a second. We also heard that when are all these National Guardsmen going to be leaving Washington, D.C.? Now we're hearing sometime between the 10th and the 12th of March. Okay, that's two things that are happening in March. Anybody remember out there that it used to be March 4th when a president was sworn in? Right. It was only in mid last century that was changed,
right,
to what we see today. So again, we've got something happening in March. And I could go on and on. What do I think is happening? I think that the deep state right now is in a full-blown panic. Why would I even say that? It wasn't enough to get Trump out. It wasn't. It wasn't enough to get him impeached the first time. It wasn't enough to get him impeached a second time. They're lining up to try and throw civilian cases at him left and right. Why? Not because they believe they have any hope of winning, but because they can use these issues to keep him busy, to keep him tied down, to keep him redirected. Redirected from what? 100-something million Americans that know this is all a bunch of crap and have had enough of it. Trump right now is the most dangerous thing on the planet to the deep state. And if you don't think he don't know it, you're an idiot.
Barry, there's another question.
Okay.
Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, sure.
I'll just read it. Have you guys any thoughts
on... Hold on. Don't read it if it says Duracell Bunny.
No. No Duracell Bunny this time, but the same listener, though.
Okay.
Graham would like to know, have you guys any thoughts on every country having a direct democracy component in their constitution where the ordinary citizens can force a vote within 1 month on any policy brought in by the government, which is damaging and repugnant to the people's best interest? This would stick a spanner into the wheels of corruption.
No, it would absolutely stop it. But yeah. What has just been proposed is the perfect answer to just about everything. It really is. The problem with it is we've been talking about an elitist caste, and an elitist caste doesn't just operate in Canada and the United States. It operates globally. It literally pulls the strings across the entire planet. What you're talking about puts a stop to every mechanism of control they would use going forward, which means their money no longer matters, which means they're not going to let it happen. And if you try to push it, they're either going to make sure that you are brought down hard, either legally or, I don't know, just the cessation of breathing.
Or collapse the dollar. Because they can do that anytime they want.
We're talking about individuals. And yes, but you, again, most people don't understand this. The United States, the Western world right now is still a valuable commodity to these elitists. Why? Because we control the flow of capital around the planet. They designed us that way. That's what is happening. So what did they need to do? We talked about this on past shows, Barry. They needed to destroy the American economy and bring America to her knees. Because once America goes to her knees, what country left on the planet is going to put up much of a fight?
Well, so if you take Roger. Get rid of the cowboy. Get rid of the cowboy.
That's exactly right. So what we're looking at, and everybody seems to think that COVID is one thing. And that the education system is one thing, and that the politics and stolen elections. And by the way, how did Trudeau win? Let me see. Where are these cheating machines built? Oh, that would be Canada.
Nothing to see. Go ahead.
If you stop to consider each and every one of these mechanisms is connected, and I will give it to you this way again, because you've all heard me say this, so I can imagine couple thousand eyeballs rolling to the back of your heads right now, right? If you stop to consider everything we're looking at, and it doesn't matter whether it's the GMOs, it doesn't matter whether it's the vaccines, it doesn't matter whether it's the geoengineering, what's being sprayed in your sky, it doesn't matter that they're lying to our kids and teaching them a history that never existed. It doesn't matter about, and I could go on and on, all of this is connected. And it all goes back to something that they proudly built and sits as a monument to their attachment of total authority over humanity. Leave no more than 500 million in tune with nature. You guys, we are in that mechanism right now.
So I guess that means you're not rolling up your sleeve for your COVID vaccine there, Roger?
I would say, if I didn't know that that was intended to be humorous, I would say that it was probably the most stupid thing you could ever have said. But I realize it was intended to be humorous. So let me give you what I feel would be at least an attempt at an honest answer. All right? No! But I think everybody understood. Let me talk about that a little bit. See, Barry understands.
I want to talk about it. The vaccine passports, they're coming. Go ahead.
I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to go to the actual vaccine itself. Okay? I don't know how this is run in Canada, but I know how it's run in the United States, and I think it's pretty much this way everywhere. And if it isn't, then it's a direct violation of the Nuremberg Code. What I'm about to tell you is that all of these vaccines were produced under emergency status. Every single one of them has been authorized for use under emergency status. Right. Listen to me. They cannot force you to take a vaccination that has never been approved by the U.S. health agencies, and they haven't. They have been authorized under emergency status. They can tell you you need it. Your boss may even be able to tell you if you ain't got it, you can't come to work, but they cannot force you to take it. And if they do, they are in for a huge surprise, and that will make it up to the Supreme Court. These are all authorized under emergency status, which means they cannot be made mandatory. Now, I'm going to tell you why that's a good thing. And then I'm also going to tell you that, as Barry has said, and as Stephen has said many times, there are far too many people out there that don't know this, and they're scared to death. All they know is get the shots or you're probably going to die. We're looking at a vaccine here, first off, that is not a vaccine. It doesn't even follow the definition of a vaccine. What is it meant to do? It's meant to go in and artificially have your DNA, your RNA or your DNA by default do something. This is not what a vaccine does. It isn't. This is a medical procedure. At that point, you now have a point, Stephen. Don't say anything, but that is where your point of validity is, right there, okay? This, in fact, is not by definition, even though it's being called a vaccine, it is not a vaccine, and it does not meet the definition of a vaccine. It doesn't, and it never will. That's the first thing. The second thing is there are doctors all across the planet being shut up right now, one right after the other, for saying this is going to make you sterile. We also have reports that women who were pregnant, their placenta started to crystallize, and they needed to spend the rest of their pregnancy in the hospital constantly being taken care of because of that. Mm-hmm. And that females who have taken this, their placenta crystallized whether they're pregnant or not. But again, what does that do to you? What does that do to your child if you decide to have one? And I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. We're not only looking at sterility, but we're looking at something else that nobody knows. Something that is the biggest question. And right now, listen to me, the CEO of Pfizer has said, the way we think this is going to go is you get your first three shots, then you'll need a COVID shot every year for the rest of your life. Oh, no, that's an article on the Liberty Beacon. Go take a look. Cha-ching. Now, let's talk about the scariest part of this entire scenario that nobody is talking about. I said on this show once before that the biggest part of building a vaccine is the animal trials, because they use things like rats, which multiply very quickly. So they have a lot of generations in a short period of time. So if you can administer something that you know may affect the DNA, you don't have to wait for 10 human generations. You can wait a year to 2 years with these rats. And really, these were all passed over. None of them were done. This is the first vaccine totally intentioned, targeted to. And yes, I'm calling it a vaccine because everybody else is. This is the first medical procedure called a vaccine that is intended to be a mechanical switch. There's no live parts in there. A mechanical switch to your DNA. They didn't do the animal trials, so they don't know how it's going to affect the DNA over generations. Mm-hmm. They don't know this, but they know that it's going to affect your DNA. They know this for a fact, okay? And now they're going to give it to 7 billion people. And we have to hold our breaths and see if 2 generations from now we've all got tails and donkey ears. And 3 generations from now, half of the babies don't get born. And 4 generations from now, humanity's totally sterile. Why? Because once you change the DNA, all right, changing it back to the way it was, forget about it. This is the biggest thing everybody out there there should be scared crapless about, is the fact that we are changing the blueprint of humanity without even doing the minimal testing to prove it's not going to turn out to be a total disaster. Now I'm going to totally go against what I just said. Yeah, all a little bit of shock on your face, all of you. I'm going to totally go against what I just said. I believe the reason those animal tests were skipped was because, and remember, Event 201, this scenario was practiced about 4 or 5 years ago, all right? If you stop to consider how important those animal tests were and what the public would have seen if they actually would have run them, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you they did run them, and they know exactly what they're going to do. And let's go back to the Georgia guide notes, and I'll take a deep breath.
nothing is out of the realm of possibilities when you're dealing with psychopaths, Roger. And what you just talked about?
For thousands of years, and they basically run this planet.
Exactly. We're talking about eugenics. We're talking about programs that were talked about a long, long time ago and laid down and brought into play in our society. And here we are at this point now. Anybody that takes this vaccine or this medical experiment, Roger, as an intelligent person, there is so much information negative out there about it that anybody that takes it really, really is doing themselves a disservice. But unfortunately, we see millions of people lining up for it. I'm going to share something real quick here, Roger, that was shared with me yesterday. There's a band here. I'm not going to say the name of the band, but a whole bunch of them went and got the vaccines. And guess what? I was talking to a person that's directly tied in with these, and multiple reports of major reactions from this vaccine that's been administered up here in the north coast of British Columbia. Also in an old age care home here up in Prince Rupert. Same thing. The vaccine was administered. All of a sudden, there's a pile of deaths going on. There was one in Ontario that, you know, the mainstream media is really covering this up well, Roger. But the information I got came from really good sources that this one care home in Ontario, buddy, they volunteered, 128 of them volunteered to get the COVID vaccine. And in 6 weeks, 66 of them had died. So you tell me what's going on in our world, folks. What would you want to do to society, Roger? If you really wanted to get rid of history in society, if you really wanted to get rid of the people that have a little bit of knowledge, you've seen what's changed in our world, what would you do? You'd get rid of the older sector of society. Well, in Canada here, Roger, out of the 21,000 deaths, and I went and looked at numbers the other day, I know the numbers between Canada and the U.S. are vastly different based on population, and I don't know how to explain that, but right now, according to the government, 21,000 people have died in Canada since the onslaught of the scamdemic. Out of those deaths, 98% of them are over the age of 70, between 70 and 80 years of age.
With comorbidities.
With comorbidity, of course. You know, and I know, Roger, anybody that knows anything about medicine and the human body, we all know that when you get older, your immune system is compromised, that you've had multiple diseases possibly up to that point in your life. You've already had maybe this or that and that, and along comes this, something else reacts, and of course they label it, but it's all old people that it's affecting, Roger. It's not affecting, you know, okay, healthy human beings. But go ahead, because I know the numbers up here, buddy. I know the numbers up here are a lot different in the state than the states, because I've looked at the numbers down there, and I can't explain the discrepancy based on population. But go ahead.
Well, again, that's part of it, as far as, you know, erasing the knowledge and wisdom of the older generations so that you can start your own lies and build your own representation of a history that never actually occurred. But that's only part of it. If you stop to consider what the state actually pays per each one of those older individuals who gives absolutely nothing back to the state, they are just people who are sitting there sucking money from the government down and giving it nothing back. Now, for anybody listening, no, those aren't my words or my thoughts. I actually heard this said to me. Remember, I used to work within the government. I was a private contractor, but every single contract I had was with the government. So if you stop to consider the cost, let's go to Cuomo's position. How much was the state paying out on a regular basis for the seniors in those homes? How much was the state paying out for them? Now, how many of them died? And even then, there's semi-proof out there now that the number may actually be twice what we've been told in New York. But let's say 25,000 seniors die, and they're each costing you $100,000 a year or more if you include medical expenses. If you do the math, you realize that's a huge savings. It really is. And for everybody out there asking, how can a person be so crass as to even think of this? Again, I didn't think of it. It was what was told to me. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but there are other issues that couldn't be gotten around because of the law. If you want to know how long it's been since big business wanted to literally sweep the little businesses out from under the rug and into the waste paper basket because they were literally stifling everything these big box stores want to do. What do they want to do? This is the corporatocracy we've discussed on several shows. They literally want to supply everything that you ask for. So the inevitability is if you want anything, you need to go to them. Now they have more control over you than you could ever freaking imagine. Getting rid of mid to small size businesses is paramount to them clamping down control globally. Exactly. You have to get rid of the people who, look, if Google doesn't have what I want, I'm going to go downtown. I'm going to take a look. There's a couple of shops down there. I'll bet you one of them has it. And this is the mindset most of us grew up with. Now, the new generation that's just coming out of school, they grew up totally different. And especially with the last year, if these guys are just graduating and the last year they've spent as isolated as they are on their computers, this is going to be the generation that Google and Yahoo and all of these other big box stores or big tech companies are going to be wooing big time. Right. Absolutely. Now, it's the people like you and me who would go to that store downtown, or even people that are in their 40s or 50s would go to those stores downtown and give them their business out of respect, out of a sense of community. Well, damn it, if everybody has a mask on so you can't even see if they're smiling or frowning at you, you know, if everybody is standing a minimum of 6 feet away so you don't shake hands anymore, occasionally you just bump elbows, what are you doing? You are desensitizing an entire population. You are getting rid of that bond. And once that bond goes away, what's left? What's left is the people that supply everything that you want. Everything that you want.
It's a master plan, man, to turn the people against themselves, Roger.
And it's been
working so well. It's working so well, and people do not see that in our society. You know, we're destroying the very social fabric of our society.
It's been in plans for over, I would say, at least 15 to 20 years, this particular plan. But hold on. I want to tell you about another article I published today. It's called Brave New World. The author... okay, wrote this about 60 or 70 years ago. His name is Huxley, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Let me tell you just one sentence about this so that you understand why I'm even bringing it up. This guy writes a book, okay, about a technocratic, plutocracy taking over the planet, where technology runs everything, where people no longer have the intimacy or the relationships they had before, where everything is given to you by permit, where, gee, does that sound a lot like what we've been talking about on the last couple of shows, Barry?
For the last 10 years, Roger.
Why don't you guys go out and read this book, Brave New World, by Aldous Huxley. I'm going to tell you something. If it doesn't send a shiver up your spine, you're an idiot.
What year did you write that, Roger?
I'm not exactly sure. I know that the interview I did the article on, or the article was done on, was done 63 years ago, and I think the book was written right about that time. So it's 63, 65 years ago, somewhere in there.
Wow, what insight, eh? That just baffles your mind that
That's like 1984.
It's just like If I Were the Devil by Paul Harvey, 1963, and what he talks about our schools and everything else that's going on in our society, right to the T, man. Where'd these guys get this from? I don't know.
I'm talking about H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
1984.
Between
these two books, they literally nailed down just about everything that's happening all around us today. My question to everybody out there is, why the hell There's the Liberty Beacon and all of our associated websites, because we do have quite a few of them. Why has the traffic jumped between 300 and some sites, like the main site, 700%? Why has that happened? After 10 years of us telling you things were going to happen, I don't know. Did it help our credibility out? Because they're all happening. These are the things that Barry and Stephen and I and many other people out there have been telling you are on the horizon if we don't wake up. I did a show 8 years ago talking about a pandemic that could be used to scare the world into submission. Oh, my God. Did I have a crystal ball? Well, it was a little cold that day, so maybe it was a snow globe. But you're getting my picture here. These are not new ideas. We have been warning about the inevitability of the things we are seeing. You can't start a war against all of humanity and destroy the planet if you want to leave something behind for you. You can't do that. What do you have to do? You have to find an organized fashion in which to eliminate a vast majority of the global population in a fashion they're cooperating with.
Paying for.
Well, that's cooperating in my eyes.
Roger, I got to tell you about one more thing.
What's happening?
Okay, before you go today, because I'm not trying to interrupt you, but something I was showing yesterday, two videos, buddy, and I don't know if you've seen this yet, but the test kits that they're using that they stick up your nose. Guys, if you can get your hands on one, take the little fibers apart on the top and get a magnifying glass and watch it and watch and watch it. I watched two videos on this yesterday, Roger, and they're alive. The little fibers on the ends of these probes that they're sticking in your nose are alive, folks. Go look at it. Okay. I'm a believer now, Roger. I just wanted to bring that up before the show went over. Okay, I don't know if you heard about it or if you're on that.
Okay, all right.
Okay, look, anyways,
I'm going to leave that one totally in your ballpark, and I'm going to ask all of the rest of people listening who aren't dying laughing, and I'm not making fun of what you're saying, Barry. It is funny, though, okay? This is even funnier. All right, and that is the new anal swab test. So basically, now if you – I don't know if you want to go into McDonald's and you have to drop your drawers and let them stick a swab up your butt. Give me a break.
Oh, they'll be putting masks on our butts next, Roger. Well, I found it pretty interesting.
You can't say that. You can't leave it there, because that's exactly what John said one day. He walked into a store and the guy said, "You have to have a mask on." And he said, "I do have a mask on." He says, "What are you talking about? I'm looking right at your face. You don't have a mask on." He says, "Look, I'm a radio announcer." He said, "My mask is exactly where it ought to be. Everybody says I talk out my ass." Sorry, okay. I had to say that.
A little, okay. Oh, it's hilarious. Okay, Roger, either it's a hoax that I saw two vids on. I would love to get my hands on one and see if there's any truth to this. But you know what? Nothing is beyond what the Chinese Communist government is capable of doing. Okay, they're putting these things right up your nose. So, you know, who knows, Roger? But
they're not alive.
They were moving towards a certain direction. Anyways, okay.
And that could be definitely – fibers have memories, and certain fibers have an even bigger memory. That sounds funny, but it's an absolute fact. If those fibers were alive, it would be how long can they be alive? What can they be exposed to? What can't they – in other words, they wouldn't be just swabs.
Okay. So, anyways, I didn't say it was true, Roger. I know.
But you asked me about it.
Oh, I know. I see all kinds of stuff like this, and I don't pay a lot of attention to it.
Watch your time, Barry.
Yeah, I know we're running out of time, but that always happens when I get Roger on here. The hour goes very, very quickly.
All right, I'm going.
No, not yet. No, you got to say your little thing before you go, Roger, and tell people about your networks, where they can find you. And as always, like I said, the hour went very quickly, and it's always fun talking with you guys.
Well, it's the Liberty Beacon Project. The flagship site is thelibertybeacon.com. And if you go there, what you'll find is a banner at the top. Click on the banner, and it will allow you access to our sites in England, our sites in France, and other places. It is a global network with one mission only, the eradication of programmed ignorance. And shows like Barry allow me to do that.
We'll have you back real soon. You know that, Roger.
Yeah. Thanks. I know that.
Thanks for joining me, bud. Okay, guys, yeah. I'm going to take about a 3 or 4 minute break and I'm going to be back with Ron Stevens. So hang around. He's always cool to listen to. Thanks again, Roger.